So, Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you. Lord, prepare us for the road ahead. Give us wisdom, give us discernment, Lord. We don't want to be ignorant when it comes to the word of God, how to navigate this life, how to share the gospel, share the word, stand on the word, which is our foundation. God, how not to get deceived. As soon as you talked about that broad road and the narrow road, you went and said, beware of false prophets who keep us on that broad road thinking we're serving God. And then you said at the end, it says, Lord, Lord, didn't I say I never knew you? So God, give us wisdom. Give us your word. Allow us to continue in fellowship together. Iron sharpening iron. Being accountable. Rightly dividing the word so we're not distracted on the broad road that leads to hell. And then stand before you and you say, I never knew you. God, let us get the word out to anyone who will listen, especially those that we love. We pray that you would even prepare their hearts to receive the word of God. Soften their heart even now, Lord. We don't want to see them on that broad road being deceived either. So we know that we plant somebody else waters, but you give the increase. So we trust you, Lord, with the details. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, Lord. Illuminate the way this morning through your word so we can see it, the blueprint, how to live, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to react, how to respond, what to say, what not to say. Give us discretion. Give us discernment, God. Speak to us through your word right now. Give us revelation, knowledge that leads to a transformed life. Bless your people to hear. We open our hearts and minds to receive what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us this morning. Holy Spirit, speak loud and clear. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, family, we are in the book of John, chapter 10. Verse 14, in your notes, those of you that are taking notes, please write down that this is critical, this is urgent, this is high alert. It's a message that's critical, it's on high alert, it's urgent, we have to get the word out, we have to get the message out. We'll start with a quick review. I'm all over the place this morning, so we'll go here, we'll go there, and then we'll end when we end. Amen? And then, Lord willing, we'll pick it up next week. So you should have in your notes with verse 14, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and I know. So you should have no underlined. No, it means it's an intimate relationship, a relationship intimate as a husband and a wife. It is an intimate relationship. So we talked about having that intimate relationship with Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows my sheep and I am known of mine. So it's a reciprocal relationship. It's an intimate relationship where you know God. God knows you. You tell God everything. God tells you the secrets of his word. It's not about perfection. It's about loyalty. It's about your heart being connected to God. You don't have any secret things. You don't have any things in the closet. Nothing jumps out of the closet with you and your relationship with God because he knows everything. Because I already told him. Amen. Because we have that intimate relationship because I'm struggling. Amen. I'm not practicing any sin, but we all struggle with something. Amen. Because we got this flesh. So we have that intimate relationship where we stay connected to God. We don't let anything separate us from God. We run to God and we don't run from God. It's intimate. And so we can't be surprised when people don't want to know Christ intimately like that. And we found out last week that they don't know Christ intimately like that because they're on a broad road that keeps them from knowing Christ. They're on a broad road filled with destruction led by false prophets. Oh man, I just can't get over it. I've been on it all week. Been watching the news and I'm looking at the false prophets talking news and keeping people on a broad road. People are psychotic about the news, about the present. I mean, it's a broad road that leaves you on destruction. They'll kill you, they'll argue with you, you will get hurt over some political foolishness led by false prophets on a broad road. Then you just glance your TV by the award shows and you got people up there, they want to thank God. You don't know what God they're talking about. And it's all about an award and being seen and this, that, and the other. And the whole world should come together because we're all God's children. Stop right there. We're not. And Christ didn't come to bring the world together. The word says he came to bring division, where you got to make a choice of who you're going to serve. False prophets leading people on a broad road to destruction. Then I'm watching the sports and they're all wrapped up in a sport and this, that, the other. And people give their whole life, dedicate their whole life to a sport. It's led by a false prophet. Broad road. As many that's on there. And I'm not saying don't enjoy. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm just saying, family, we got to be aware. There is some foolishness out there led by false prophets keeping us on the broad road to destruction. And the word is clear about it. And if you don't have an intimate relationship with Christ, then you have an intimate relationship with something. Because we're built to worship. We're built to serve. You got it with something. And you better make sure it's not that broad road that's leading you to destruction.
Right.
So, and I told you the word no, it means like, and I'm trying to be kind with this word, but it means like you're sleeping with somebody. Christ said, my disciples, they sleep with me. We're intimate like that. Okay? It's nothing hidden. Amen? I know them. They know me from the inside out. And so I had you make a note last week. It says, don't complicate your life with opinions from false prophets. Amen. Don't complicate your life with opinions from false prophets. Stick to the word. For those of you who weren't here last week, we're in Matthew 7:13. Don't turn there. We're just doing a brief review. False prophets who think we all serve the same God. We don't. It's a broad road. Deceived by Satan. Christ says, I never knew you. We were never intimate. Depart from me. Jesus tells him, you were in bed with a false prophet. You were in bed with a false God. Did not, God, I know you. I cast this. No. You've been making love to Satan. You cheated on me your entire life. God, but didn't I do, I got involved with these causes and I was feeding, I was doing this. He said, I don't know you. You were in bed with a false God. You've been making love to Satan. Depart from me, you worker of wickedness. You are on the broad road deceived by the false prophets. Okay, family, look how deep it gets. Turn with me. Where do I want to go? Turn with me to Revelation 19 and verse 7. You have to understand, family. You got to change who you've been sleeping with. The word tells us we're going to be married to Christ. We're the bride of Christ. He's coming back for his church, his bride. And those of us who are married, who've been married, it's a relationship. It's a tough relationship. It requires work. Amen. four basic fundamental principles of marriage, right? Love, if you're taking notes, single, married, write these down, right? And it's the same thing with Christ with us. Four basic fundamental principles of marriage. If your marriage is going to have a chance to grow and be that all God has desired it to be. Love, communication, joy, and trust. And it takes work to make a marriage work. It takes work to make our relationship with Christ work. Amen? You got to have love in a marriage. You got to commune. This is the intimacy that Christ wants with us. You got to have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you're in a marriage and there's no joy, there's a problem. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm reading my notes. It has to be some joy. And if you're looking to get married and it's all contention and it's this and that, you got to reevaluate that thing. Something's missing. And then there's trust, the same thing that we have to have with God. So here we are. What I say, Revelation 19 and 7. Is that what I said? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife have made herself ready. So we have the marriage of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and his wife, which is the church, have made herself ready. How do we make ourselves ready? Love. We love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We communicate with God. There is joy walking with Christ, and we trust Christ. Everything you need in a marriage. And to her was granted, verse 8, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The word her is interchangeably, so it means them, it means us, it means the church. To her was granted that she, even though it says she, it's talking about the church. It's not male or female. It's talking about the church. She should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. But once we're saved, there's a way. Once you're married, it's the way you're supposed to act as a married person. Somebody say amen. You're not supposed to be acting like you're single. You're not supposed to be sleeping with somebody else when you're married to somebody. Amen? And so this is what God is saying. He said, I'm coming to marry you. We have an intimate relationship. It's a narrow, difficult road that you have to be on. Don't be deceived by the broad road led by false prophets where you're sleeping with Satan. Because you're going to come to God and God going to say, man, we ain't never slept together. It's a marriage. I'm coming for you. Family, it's that cut and dry. It's no two ways about it. You can't sleep with the enemy and think that you're serving God. We talked about it in the men's meeting this morning. It's the difference between the struggle and the practice. We all struggle with something, right? Amen, because we're alive and we got this flesh. But I'm not practicing any sin where I'm saying, hey, this is just who I am. This is how I get down. That's why we can be born again. I was born like this. So what? You can be born again. You shouldn't be practicing any sin when you are born again. Now, we're struggling, but I'm not practicing anything. Because I know that I'm married to Christ, and Christ is coming for a bride. He's coming for me. And I don't want him to tell me, man, I would have loved to hang out with you, but you was in bed with the enemy all your life. I never knew you. But God, I preached for you. I say, you didn't preach my message. You didn't preach my message. Because the message of Christ is he's coming back for his church. And he's coming back for a church that's not sleeping with the enemy. And he said, there's so many on that broad road getting distracted. And it's a narrow, difficult road, family, that we have to stay on. And they're going to have the nerve to say, Lord, I did all this for you. He said, no, wasn't me. Wasn't me. Hey, and for those of us that are married, I mean, it's as plain as it can get. Your spouse knows you in and out. We can put on this front right here. Okay, praise the Lord. Can put on this front right here. But your spouse knows. It's like with God. I can put on the front right here. Hey, praise the Lord, y'all. And God say, okay. I got you. So what does it require? It requires us to be transparent. Requires us to come clean. To have that intimate relationship. We have those heart-to-heart conversations. Honey, I'm struggling with this. Honey, I'm dealing with that. I know, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. Okay. And you pray for your spouse. You stay communicative with your spouse. You talk about things. Right? My brother, Dr. Joe Martin, says, if you're not talking to your wife and she's not talking to you, you better believe that Satan's talking to both of y'all. Okay? My other buddy in the military, my buddy Walter, said when he's high ranking in the military, he said the first thing, they took out the leader and then they took out communications. And they could defeat anybody. So go for the head and then take out communication. Make sure they can't communicate at all. And we got them. They're defeated. If you stop communicating with God, you are defeated. Family, you should have been talking to God from first thing this morning to when you go to bed at night. It's a constant, God, give me wisdom. God, Holy Spirit, lead me. Help me. It's an intimate relationship. God says, my sheep know me and they're known of me. We're intimate like that. That's the message. And we've been coming to church the last, 3 weeks, and we've been fasting, which means we're going to eat after service. Not as a religious thing, but I wake up and I'm saying, Lord, lead me, guide me. I want to be more intimate with you. I want to know you. I do not want you to tell me I never knew you. We never talked. We never hung out. We never were intimate. Depart from me. You're with someone else. Verse 9, he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo-hoo, somebody better underline that. Blessed are they which are invited, which are called. Remember, it's an exclusive club, but it's open to everyone. Family, that's our goal right there. It's a marriage supper. You might not be married now, but you will be married to Christ one day. And that's more important than being married right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because if Christ isn't the head of your marriage, then I don't even know why you want to get married. I try and tell my kids all the time, the worst thing you can do is just marry anything. Just to say, I'm married. And those of us that are married, we know it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. But there's joy in the work. Somebody say, married couples, y'all better say amen. That's where the joy comes in. It's joy. But you got to be on the same page. You got to, the Lord has to be the head of your marriage, both of your lives and the marriage. Otherwise, now you're married and somebody's sleeping with the enemy. You trying to sleep with God, the devil's sleeping with both of y'all. But you married. I'm going to have to save these notes for a marriage conference. Somebody say amen. He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Family, we's going to be married unto God. That's the relationship that we have. If you've been looking at it any other way, like God is out to get you, no, God is out to marry you. God wants to be intimate with you. People don't understand the character and the nature of God. This is a marriage, family. You know how beautiful that is? You're looking for the perfect love story? This is it. You're going to be married to God, the true, the living God, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, and the beginning and the end. And he's already proved his love because he already died for you and I. Well, how do I know God loves you? What do you mean? How do you know if God? He's already died for you. So he could marry you. He proved his love. You don't have to guess how much he loves you. God was humble enough to die for us, but we're not humble enough to die to self so we can live for God. Got the nerve to tell God I'm good. But when we're distracted on that broad road, that's the false prophets making you think that you're good and don't even understand the nature, the character of God who's already proved his love, died for you and I. So we could be married to him in the end. It's a marriage relationship. That's a beautiful thing. Hey, don't worry about marrying somebody else. If God brings them along, amen. But be more concerned, am I going to be married to God when this thing is all said and done, and I'm going to be married to the ultimate. The ultimate groom, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has already proved his love for us. So here's number two, family. Why we stay distracted. We're either on the broad road or turn to John 3 and 19. This is why we don't become intimate with God. If you're there, say amen. John 3 and 19. See, this is the separation. The word condemnation in verse 19 says, this is a separation. Not only do we have to deal with the broad road and the false prophets, this is the separation. This is the condemnation. This is what separates us. That light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds, their works were evil. I'm not going to be intimate with God because that's going to expose my darkness. And I like darkness. To be honest, I like being in the dark more than I like walking in the light. So I'm good with my darkness. So you're either on that broad road led by the false prophet, or you're just in love with doing the dark, evil things. Condemnation is separation. This is a separation, right? The wheat, the tares, the sheep from the goats. The children of God, the children of the devil. It's a separation. See, God didn't come to bring unity. Christ didn't. He came to bring separation. Well, we got to make a choice, light or dark. So I have some notes here, Sister Kathy, so I'm going to read what I have. The word also tells us mankind rejects the light of Christ because they love darkness. And when we're sharing, family, remember, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. So don't take it personal. Remember, Jesus is the light of the world. The world loves to be in bed with darkness, with false gods and false prophets. That's just it. The light exposes them, so they stay in darkness. Either we will expose the darkness or the darkness will overtake us, but they can't coexist. It doesn't work like that. Also have, which I already spoke of, don't fool yourself by getting into an unequally yoked relationship. Let me say it again for whoever's listening. Don't fool yourself by getting into an unequally yoked relationship. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when you walk in darkness, you can't be intimate with the light. You just can't. You can't walk in darkness and be intimate with light. Just like you can't walk in light and be intimate with darkness. You can't. Verse 19 again. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that practice evil, okay, doeth means it's like to exercise, right? Because y'all know, because y'all exercise every day. So, everyone that exercise evil, everyone that practice evil, performs, it's a habit, it's an act, it's a lifestyle, right? Everyone that is exercising, practicing, performing evil hates the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest their works should be exposed. That's why we don't get intimate with God. That's why the world's not intimate with God. Because once you step into the light, that's why people don't want to hear you come around with that Jesus stuff, because it's going to expose. It's going to make me look bad. It's going to shine some light on my darkness. And I don't talk to me about that. I don't want to, because the light exposes it. So you know what? I don't become intimate with God because I just like my dark little corner and I'm going to hang out there. And I don't want you to come and talk to me about nothing that has to deal with the light. But family, it says many are going to be on that road, so you can't be surprised. Look at that. Everyone that practices evil, they hate the light. Why do you think they're trying to get Christ out of the schools? They're trying to get him out of everything. And we're not trying to hear that. It's trying to get him out of politics. We're not trying to hear that. We hate. We're doing evil and we hate the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Because if Jesus lights it up, then I'm going to be exposed for the darkness that I am and the false prophet that I am. They don't want, they're offended in Christ. But he said that's many. And on that, and you can't feel like an oddball or an outcast. Sometimes we do, but it's a narrow, difficult road. And it's that's, but you got family, understand that's where we're supposed to be at. Remember, if everybody's doing it, it's probably not of God. It's probably not godly. It's probably led by a false prophet. We just really have to be in our word, stay intimate, stay close to God. But look at verse 21. But the person that does practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, so that they are committed and working in God. So it works both ways. Amen. So if you walk in the light, your deeds are going to be exposed too. That it's all based in God. It's you're working for God. And that's okay. We don't do things to try, because we can't put on a show, because, you know, it don't work out when you put on a show. Because we still struggling with something. You put on a show and then people see you like, dude, what are you doing? You're putting on a show like it's all good, but then we all struggling with stuff, so we know it's not all good. So don't put on a show. Just do it because it's who you are. You're walking in the light. God make manifest. It's exposed, but that's okay. Hey, stay humble and keep doing what you got to do, because before you know it, you're going to have that struggle. And it's not going to be all good. It's going to be that narrow, difficult road. So no need to get all puffed up like the Pharisees. Okay, let me finish this off. I wanted to also go to 1 John 1. Crystal, take us to 1 John 1, 5. It just talks more about the light and the dark. God, help us to understand the light and the dark. Christ is the light. Satan represents the darkness. First John, amen. 1 John 1 and 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say hold up. It's not 1 John. 1 John, Crystal. Thank you so much. This then is the message that we have heard. It's just similar, very similar. Interesting how that's similar like that. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Make a note, family. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship, oh, I looked up that word fellowship. Where's that word? Fellowship. Intimacy. If we say that we are, let me read it again. Where am I? Verse 6. If we say that we are intimate with God and walk in darkness, we're lying and we're not doing the truth. Okay, let me break it down so we really understand it. If we say that we have intimacy with God and our lifestyle is all about practicing darkness, we're lying to ourselves. And we're not doing the truth. It's not saying if you're struggling and you're trying, Lord, help me every day. God, I'm struggling. But I know I'm going to overcome this. That's not what it's saying. It's saying for those who just say, man, this is who I am. This is why I'm going to be like this. And God got to understand. And then they're serving a false God and they'll get up and say, I want to thank God. First, I want to thank God for this. You know it's not Christ because they're living in darkness. Their whole lifestyle is darkness. They're lying and it's not the truth. It's what they're practicing. And remember, the word says you'll know them by their fruit. And if you're in a relationship that's not godly and you're saying, you know, I love God, but I'm going to practice this and I'm going to stay in this, whether it's a lifestyle, I'm not going to call out anybody's lifestyle or this. I'm just saying, you got to look what the scriptures is saying. You got to get it right with God. And if it can't be right with God because it's against the word of God, then you got to get out of that. I'm just instructing you as the Lord instructs me. And I'm not talking about any relationship. I'm talking about all relationships is not godly. Right, married men, if we got a little side piece, right? Our little plaything and like, well, hey, you know it. Hey, that my uncles used to tell me you always keep something to the side just in case. Oh, so that supersedes the word of God. Well, you know, that's just the way I am. That's the way I was raised. Look at my walk too. Look, I'm walking. That's just the way I was. So that's, you know. So I'm talking about all ungodly relationships. Amen. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm saying for us married men, there's a way that we have to live above reproach. I'm saying the single men, the same thing. Because how you practice is how you play. And if you're not living right being single, you just don't think you're going to get married and all of a sudden you're going to live right. You're still going to be, you know, you're still going to be like that in your marriage. So I'm not picking on anybody. I'm picking on all things that's not right. And we all see things and we're tempted and all that. But we got to know what the word says. I'm not practicing any sin. And that's the word. And I'm not going to have my congregation walking out of here thinking that it's all good and it's all God and we love each other and it's okay and we got to get along. No, that's not what the word says. We got to live this thing right, and then we have to share that with others. And I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, I'm just telling you what the word says. I don't want you to live a defeated lifestyle. You don't have to live a defeated lifestyle. You don't have to. We're talking this morning with the men, and when we have accountability, man, it just helps our whole life out. I'm out doing stupid stuff and apologizing every 5 minutes, and then I got to go and I got to do this and I got to just do the right thing. It just live according to the word. It helps your life out, so I don't have to be defeated on my job, at home, and at the gym, the grocery store, everywhere. I just no. Get away from the darkness. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship. That's why you can get up and pray every morning and say, God, I'm running to you and I'm not running from you. Because we're intimate like that, God. And I know you're preparing me to marry you. Think about it. Those of you that have planned a wedding or helped plan, you're doing all kind of little stuff to get the wedding right. This has to be right. You got to do this. You spend more time on the wedding than the marriage, but that's okay. That's another story. But you got to put in a lot of work. Family, we got to put in work on ourselves because we're getting ready to be married to Jesus. We don't want to get there and they say, dude, how are you coming to the wedding? You're not even invited. I don't even know you. You didn't get an invitation. You never accepted me as your Lord and Savior. We got to get ready. Family, we're getting ready for the biggest event of our life. That's to be married to Christ. I can't think of anything that's bigger. But the broad road and the darkness will distract you and me and lead us right to destruction. And remember, it said it's many on that road, so we can't be surprised. Like, is everybody gone crazy? Well, it's going to be a lot of them. Okay? Maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe this isn't the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe I need to jump into the mainstream. There's many that's going to be distracted. They're not going to understand you, I'm telling you now. Just let your light shine. Show the love of Christ. And when you get the opportunity, share the word of God. Share the love of God always. All right, I got to wrap this up. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship, we have intimacy one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice it doesn't say that it cleanses all from sin. It cleanses us from all sin. This is not an inclusive message. We're saying, it says everybody's going to be cleansed from sin. No, it's not saying that. It cleanses us from all sin because we walk in the light and we have fellowship with Christ. Yes. That's what cleanses us. All right. All right, family, let's finish this up. Let's finish. Let's go back to John 10. Amen. Amen. Got to walk out of here and live this thing. Don't be deceived. Amen. If you want to just watch a little bit of the deception going down, watch 5 minutes of the Grammys tonight. I'm serious. I mean, you got folks wrapped up in that, whether it's the Oscars or they get up saying all this stuff that sounds good. It's a false prophet and it's leading so many down that wrong road. Unless they get up talking about Jesus Christ as the head of my life and the Lord of my life, then you don't know what God they're talking about. And they're going to give a feel good message. We got to include everybody in an inclusive world. And this, are you serious? That's not what the Bible teaches. I'm telling you, family. I try and watch TV. I just can't even watch it no more. I can't watch it, but I'm just seeing too much. Like, but that's what I'm praying for, the wisdom of God. Like, are you serious? Listen, climate change is the biggest hurdle we've ever faced, but together, the world, we can save the world. That's your campaign? That's what you're campaigning on? That we're going to save the world? Have you looked at us lately? We can't even clean our house. climate change is what's going to bring the world together. Not Jesus Christ, not the love of Christ, not humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he'll lift us up. Folks, my spiritual intent is stay up. Oh, help me, Lord. Help us. Okay, let's finish this. Let's get to so we can start next week. Where we at? Okay, I said John 10. 14. All right. So I'm the good shepherd and I'm intimate with my sheep and I'm intimate of my own, which is not everybody. I'm going to marry my own. As a father is intimate with me, even so I the father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Underline that word fold means of this yard. Right. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, this yard. So there's a sheep, there's some sheep in this yard. He said, I have other sheep that are not in this yard. Amen. Which he's talking about us because we weren't back there with them. them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Amen. Look at this. And there shall be one fold. Now that fold is talking about a flock. All right. So there's this fold right here in the yard. There's others that aren't part of this fold, but I'm going to bring them in, and then I'm going to have one flock and one shepherd. And that shepherd is king. Jesus is going to marry a group of sheep, and he's going to be the king of those. And they know him and are known of him. And they're on that narrow, difficult road. It's not everybody. Therefore doth my Father, and we'll come back and pick it up next week, but let me finish with this. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh from me, I lay it down of myself. Come on now, Jesus already proved his love. Nobody took it from him, he laid it down. He said, I have the power. That word power is exousia, which means I have what? The ability, the authority to lay down my life. And then I have the ability and the authority to take it back up again. And this commandment, this charge I have received of my Father. Nobody took his life. He laid it down. Proved his love. What more do you want him to, what more can someone else do other than die for you? Right? They give you $1 million, but they don't love you. Just to get you out of my face. I got two here. Take one and get out of my face. They love me. Gave me $1 million. No, he gave you $1 million to get out of his face. He had another two. And he had three he was high and didn't even tell you about. But when you die for someone, that's it. That's how much I love you. And I willingly did it. I wasn't forced to do it. The Father told me to do it, and I did it out of love. Verse 19 and we'll 19 and 20, then we'll 21, we'll stop. Therefore, there was division. Underline that division. It's always division. The people right there, and he makes reference back to where he opened the man's eyes who was born blind. There was division among the Jews for these sayings, right? It's always Christ causes division. He doesn't, it's always division. Everybody doesn't receive it. Many of them said, he has a devil and he's out of his mind. Why are you listening to him? That's what they're telling you today. Verse 1, and others said, these are not words of him that have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of one that's born blind? It's always division when you take a stand for Christ. Put on your big boy pants, your big girl pants, and deal with it. Because it's a narrow, difficult road that we got to walk on. I wish I could tell you, especially that with the climate, the spiritual climate in today's world, I wish I could tell you it's going to be easy and everybody's going to love you as a Christian, and especially a determined disciple, not a defeated disciple. But that's not the word. It's going to be division. You and I have to take a stand, make a choice. And the rest we'll pick up next week. Amen. So let's just bow our heads for a quick minute. Lord, we just got a Selah. Think on that word, the challenge that you just gave us. God, the most important event in our life that we should have in the forefront of our life is to be married to you. And to prepare ourselves to be married to you. God, I can't think of anything more important than getting myself ready to be married to God. God, I'm going to appreciate everything. I'm going to enjoy everything, but nothing is going to take the place of my joy and excitement to live for you, to stay intimate with you, knowing that eventually going to be married to you. You proved your love while we were yet sinners. You died for us. You tell us nothing will separate us from the love of God. You say you know us and we know you. Stay intimate. Stay away from the broad road. Stay away from the false prophets. Stay away from the darkness. Don't practice it. Yes, we're struggling, but we're not practicing anything. So, Lord, we just thank you for the forgiveness of sins. If we would have read John 1 and 9, it says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Lord, because we're struggling. We're trying to keep it together. But to be honest, Lord, we struggle every day with something. So we're asking for that forgiveness. We're going to continue to run to you and not from you. We're going to be open. We're going to be honest. Lord, I'm struggling. Give me the strength to get through this, God. I don't want to practice any sin. I want to prepare myself to be married to you. And God, I love you that much that you humbled yourself to die for me. The least I can do is humble myself to live for you. So we thank you, we bless you, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the revelation in your word. Now may it cause us to live transformed lives. Bless your people to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers. Oh, we love you on today, Lord. We desire that intimate relationship with you, to walk, to talk, to worship you in 2020 like never before. Bless your people, Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.